Welcome to today's custom tailored deep dive. We're incredibly thrilled you're joining us
Yeah, thanks for being here.
because our mission today is to completely change how you think about the noise in your own body.
It really is.
We've got a fascinating journey ahead of us, and it's all about unlocking the secret language of your pain fluctuations.
Right, and it's a profound shift in perspective, really.
Yeah.
We're so used to thinking of our bodies in very static terms.
Definitely.
You feel good or you feel bad. But today we're looking at the dynamic, moment-to-moment reality of human physiology and what those tiny microscopic changes are actually trying to tell us.
To do this, we're looking at a stack of incredible new research. We have two main sources guiding our deep dive today. First, there's a 2025 paper published in Frontiers in Pain Research.
Right, the smartphone one.
Exactly, focusing on tracking musculoskeletal pain continuously using a smartphone app. And second, we have a brand new 2026 preprint from researchers Pentaleo, Ashworth, Jane, and Mancini.
And they basically take this concept of tracking pain and put it inside a brain scanner
Yeah.
to explore the neural mechanisms of chronic pain. These two sources complement each other so well.
They really do.
One looks at how we experience and report our pain out in the real world on our phones, and the other looks at the microscopic neurological architecture inside our heads driving that very experience.
The hook here, the thing that absolutely blew my mind when I was reading through these sources, is a simple question. What if the random spikes and dips in a person's pain, those little fluctuations happening over just seconds or minutes, aren't actually random measurement errors at all?
Right.
What if they're actually a crystal ball predicting whether someone will heal or whether they're going to develop chronic pain?
It's a staggering thought. I mean, in neuroscience and honestly in medicine generally, moment-to-moment variability is so often dismissed as a
What's
nuisance.
bad data?
Exactly. It's the static, it's the noise that gets in the way of a clean data point. Researchers usually want to smooth that out. But these scientists asked, what if the noise is actually the signal?
Okay, let's unpack this. If you think about the traditional way we measure pain, it's almost always at the doctor's office.
Right, on the exam table.
Yeah, you're sitting on that crinkly paper, and they ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain been like over the last week or month?
Which is incredibly subjective.
Totally. It's a static, memory-based snapshot. But the 2025 Frontiers study completely flipped that approach. They took 81 people dealing with chronic musculoskeletal pain.
So pain in the back, neck, arm, or leg.
Right, stuff that's been dragging on for more than 6 months. And they had them use a custom smartphone app.
And the way they use the app is key here. Instead of just tapping a number from 1 to 10 once a day, the participants held their finger on a vertical slider on their screen.
Just keeping it there.
Yes. They rated their pain continuously for about 5 minutes a day over 2 consecutive days.
Which sounds simple, but the app was recording their fingers' movement at an average sampling rate of 55 hertz.
Wow.
Which means it was logging their pain level 55
Right.
times every single second.
Imagine the granularity of that. They captured the absolute microscopic evolution of the participant's pain.
Every tiny wince.
Every wince, every slight relief. And what they found validates a major theoretical shift in how we understand the nervous system. Like we mentioned, variability is often dismissed as just human error.
Like maybe your finger just slipped on the screen.
Exactly. But this study demonstrated that these rapid fluctuations aren't random at all. They showed a highly structured autocorrelation.
Autocorrelation, meaning the pain is kind of talking to itself over time.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Specifically, when they looked at a 1 second lag, they found that the pain level at one precise second heavily predicts the pain level at the very next second.
Interesting.
It has a deeply correlated temporal structure. It's moving in a connected wave, not just jumping around like static on a TV screen.
Wait, so if someone is in agonizing level 10 pain, wouldn't their readings be jumping all over the place, like a chaotic scramble because their nervous system is just overwhelmed?
You would think so.
Right.
It's totally logical to assume the worst pain is the most chaotic. But the researchers found the exact opposite.
The opposite.
People with the highest, most severe pain actually had the lowest relative variability.
Wow.
Their pain barely moved. It was completely locked in.
That is so counterintuitive. The more it hurts, the less it fluctuates.
Yeah. To measure this, the researchers looked at something called the coefficient of variation, or CV.
Okay.
I know that sounds like a bit of statistical jargon, but basically it expresses the variability of the pain relative to that individual's own average pain level.
Got it.
And the correlation was stark. High mean pain levels were associated with a lower coefficient of variation. Their pain state had stabilized, but it had stabilized at a severe unyielding level.
I kept trying to picture how this works physically, and I realized it's a lot like a car's suspension system.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Think about it. A healthy suspension system is bouncy and flexible. It has high variability because it's constantly adapting to the bumps and dips in the road.
Right.
You get a smooth ride precisely because the system is doing the work of absorbing the shocks. But if you have a stiffened, rigid suspension system, it loses that variability.
It can't adapt.
Exactly. Suddenly, every tiny pebble on the road translates into a terrible, painful ride for the passenger.
That's a great way to visualize it.
Mm.
And the clinical data from the 2025 study completely backs up that comparison. They didn't just measure the continuous pain on the app.
They did questionnaires too, right?
They did. Things like the Breese Pain Inventory, which measures pain severity, and the Musculoskeletal Health Questionnaire, which measures overall symptom burden and quality of life.
Okay.
The data showed that greater pain variability, that higher coefficient of variation, the bouncier suspension, was actually linked to milder clinical symptoms and better overall health status.
So the rigid, inflexible pain was the severe pain. If you're sitting there right now listening to this, it really makes you rethink your own bodily sensations. We tend to get frustrated when our pain or discomfort goes up and down.
Of course.
We want it to just go away entirely. But this implies that the very fact your pain is fluctuating means your body is still actively fighting.
We're still adapted.
Yeah. The fluctuation is actually a sign of life, of a system that hasn't given up yet.
It's a really hopeful way to look at it. The brain's inability to bounce is what actually makes the pain so severe and relentless.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The 2026 preprint took this exact concept of short-term variability and put it inside an fMRI machine.
Right.
They wanted to see that car suspension system actually at work in the brain's physical networks.
The scale of this 2026 study is genuinely impressive. They utilized an open-access data-sharing platform called OpenPain to analyze a longitudinal dataset of 120 individuals.
That's a lot for an fMRI study.
It is.
Yeah.
And crucially, these weren't people who'd been suffering for a decade. These were individuals with what we call subacute back pain, meaning it's relatively new,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Their pain had started recently, lasting anywhere from 4 to 16 weeks.
Okay.
And they had no back pain in the year prior to this episode. This is a terrifying window for a patient. You've been hurting for a couple of months, and you're starting to wonder, is this my life now?
Is this ever going to go away?
Right. The researchers wanted to capture the brain during this critical transition period. They followed these 120 people for a whole year.
Wow.
Bringing them in for brain scans and continuous pain rating sessions at the onset of the study, and then again at 2 months, 7 months, and 13 months post-injury.
That is a massive commitment. Getting 120 people into an fMRI scanner multiple times over a year to watch their brains change in real time.
It's huge.
They were essentially looking for the moment the paths diverge.
Mm.
Because when you catch someone in that 4 to 16 week window, they're at a fork in the road.
So what happened over that year? Did they split into different groups?
They did. Over the course of the year, these patients split into two distinct groups. There was the recovering group, which the researchers called SBPR.
Okay.
Meaning their pain progressively decreased by at least 20%. And then there was the persistent pain group, SBPP, whose pain intensity tragically didn't see any meaningful reduction over the entire year.
What's fascinating here is how that moment-to-moment variability evolved differently for these two groups.
Yeah.
Remember that coefficient of variation, the measure of how much the pain fluctuates, the bounce?
Yes.
When the researchers analyzed the continuous pain ratings taken while the participants were inside the fMRI scanner, they found a marked divergence.
Right. The recovering group, the ones whose pain eventually faded, showed a significant increase in their pain variability over the year. By the 13-month mark, their systems had loosened up. Their pain became more variable.
Just like the healthy car suspension, their brains regained the ability to absorb the shocks. But what about the persistent pain group? The ones who unfortunately developed chronic pain?
Their variability remained rigidly stable. It never increased.
It stayed flat.
Their systems stayed completely inflexible, and as a result, their pain persisted. The researchers basically proved that a lack of short-term fluctuation was a hallmark of the transition into chronic pain.
That paints such a vivid picture of what's happening, but obviously you can't literally look inside a brain and see a car suspension. We're talking about blood flow and oxygen and neural activity.
Right, biology.
So what is actually happening in the brain's networks during these rigid versus flexible states?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's exactly what the researchers wanted to map. They needed to find the neural signatures of this variability. To do this, they used an AI model, specifically something called gradient boosting machines.
Gradient boosting machines? That sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. How does that even work?
I know, it's a heavy term.
Yeah.
But imagine asking 1,000 different doctors to look at a patient's brain scan and then mathematically combining all their best guesses into one super diagnosis.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
That's essentially what this AI is doing. It's an ensemble method that's incredibly good at learning complex, nonlinear relationships in massive data sets. And they gave this AI a very specific, challenging task.
Which was?
They asked it to look at the fMRI data from just the first visit, the onset visit, roughly 2 months after the injury, and predict which group the patient would end up in a full year later.
Wait, let me make sure I'm hearing that correctly. They asked the AI to look at the brain activity linked to pain fluctuations from a single 60-minute session at the very beginning of the injury and predict if that person would have chronic pain a whole year later.
Yes. And the AI succeeded with incredible accuracy.
Unbelievable.
The model was able to robustly separate the recovering individuals from the persistent individuals, achieving a mean ROC-AUC score of over 0.8.
Okay, another big statistical term, ROC-AUC of 0.8. What does that mean for us non-data scientists?
Fair enough. In statistics, an accuracy score of 0.8 out of 1.0 is considered highly predictive. It's essentially an A-minus grade for predicting the future.
Yeah.
The AI proved that the destiny of that patient's pain was already written in the neural activity of those short-term fluctuations at the very onset of the condition.
That is both incredible and slightly terrifying. It really is a neural crystal ball. So what exactly was the AI looking at when it gave that A-minus prediction? Which brain regions were giving away the secret?
The beauty of the gradient boosting machine is that it allows researchers to see which features or which brain regions were most important for making that prediction.
Okay.
It highlighted a very specific network of regions that we know are intimately involved in processing and regulating pain. This included the thalamus, which acts as the central relay station for sensory signals coming up from your spinal cord.
Right.
It also highlighted the amygdala, which is crucial for processing the emotional salience and the fear associated with pain. Furthermore, the anterior insula and several prefrontal cortices, specifically the dorsomedial and orbitofrontal prefrontal cortices, were highly predictive.
Okay, so the thalamus is the relay station, the amygdala is the fear center. And those prefrontal areas, those are the higher order thinking and regulating parts of the brain behind your forehead, right? The boss of the brain.
Precisely. They are responsible for top-down regulatory control. They can actually send signals down to the brainstem to turn the volume of pain up or down.
That makes a lot of sense.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what the fMRI data is showing us isn't just about the sensory input of a bad back. It's not just about the physical tissue damage in the lumbar spine.
It's deeper than that.
Yes. What we are seeing is an early loss of dynamical flexibility in the brain's pain regulatory networks. These are often referred to as the thalamocortical limbic circuits.
Right, the connections between the relay station, the thinking cortex, and the emotional limbic system.
Exactly. The brain's endogenous control system, its internal pharmacy and volume dial, loses its capacity to transition out of a high pain state. The system stiffens, the variability drops, and the acute pain solidifies into chronic pain.
So it's almost like when you're incredibly stressed, right? And your brain just can't relax to watch a movie or read a book.
Oh, absolutely.
You're sitting on the couch, but your mind is racing. The system is just stuck in the on position. The brain's thermostat gets stuck on high and the buttons freeze so you can't turn it back down.
That's it, exactly.
The sensory areas are still registering the physical feeling, but the regulatory network is completely locked.
That's a phenomenal way to put it. The buttons are frozen.
Hmm.
And because the system is frozen, it creates a psychological feedback loop as well.
Which brings me back to a really poignant detail from the 2025 smartphone study. We talked about how they continuously track the pain with the slider, but the researchers also asked the participants to do something else.
Right.
I remember at the end of their tracking session on day one, they asked them to predict what their pain level would be the next day and to rate how confident they were in that prediction.
The psychological aspect of this cannot be overstated. Pain isn't just a physical sensation. It is profoundly influenced by our expectations, our fear, and our cognitive state.
For sure.
The researchers were looking to see if these patients had implicitly learned the statistical trajectory of their own suffering. Did their conscious minds realize that their internal suspension system was broken?
And they had. The dark side of this predictability is honestly heartbreaking. When the researchers analyzed those predictions, they found that the participants who predicted their future pain most accurately were the exact same people with the least variable, most severe pain.
It's a sobering finding. Because their internal regulatory system had become so stiff and locked in, their daily experience lost all of its natural volatility.
We just knew.
Right. They could accurately predict tomorrow's pain because they were trapped in a stabilized state of severe suffering. The lack of variability didn't just show up on a statistical chart or an fMRI scan. It manifested as a deeply internalized, perfectly accurate expectation of continued pain.
It's awful.
They knew tomorrow was going to be bad because today was bad and yesterday was bad.
Their suffering was tragically predictable, but knowing this, seeing the mechanics of how pain chronifies and gets locked in. So what does this all mean? How does this knowledge actually help you, the person listening right now, or the millions of people navigating the healthcare system with chronic pain?
It represents a massive leap forward in how we diagnose, track, and potentially intervene. Historically, the medical field has been hunting for expensive, complex biomarkers.
Right.
They want a blood test or a genetic screen that proves someone is developing chronic pain. Alternatively, they rely on those highly subjective, memory-based 1 to 10 pain scales we talked about earlier. And we know those are flawed because human memory for pain is notoriously unreliable.
Yeah. You always remember the peak of the pain or the most recent pain. If you stubbed your toe this morning, you'll say your week was awful, but you forget the little moments of relief in between.
Right. We are biased reporters of our own experience. But what these two studies demonstrate is that we have a powerful, objective biomarker hiding in plain sight. It's simply the moment-to-moment variability of the pain itself.
That's amazing.
Instead of a million-dollar brain scanner or an invasive tissue biopsy, medicine can use this. Just a few minutes of continuous pain rating on a simple smartphone app can capture that variability. It offers a low effort, high yield, and entirely objective index of the nervous system's flexibility.
It's hugely empowering. It means a doctor could theoretically give a patient an app when they first hurt their back, track the bounce that coefficient of variation over a couple of weeks, and know almost immediately if that patient's brain is losing flexibility.
Exactly.
They wouldn't have to wait a whole year to see if the pain becomes chronic. They could intervene early while the system is still malleable.
And early intervention is the holy grail of chronic pain treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the brain's networks undergo that central reorganization, once those thalamocortical limbic circuits we discussed become rigidly entrenched, it is incredibly difficult to reverse.
Makes sense.
By recognizing that short-term variability is a fundamental signature of system function, rather than just measurement error, we unlock an entirely new window into the brain's ongoing state.
Let's take a moment to quickly recap this incredible journey. We started by challenging the idea of noise. Those random little fluctuations in how you feel from 1 minute to the next aren't measurement errors, and they aren't just you being fidgety.
No, they're not.
In the context of pain, that noise is actually the vital signal of your brain's flexibility. We saw through the smartphone study that a flexible, variable pain system is actually associated with milder symptoms. A rigid, stable pain system is associated with severe, locked-in suffering.
Perfectly summarized.
And then peering into the fMRI scanner with the 2026 preprint, we saw that this loss of flexibility starts incredibly early. A stiffening of the brain's pain regulatory networks at the very onset of an injury can predict, with an A- accuracy grade, whether that person will still be in pain a year later. A flexible system heals while a rigid system chronifies.
This raises an important question. We've spent this deep dive exploring how the microscopic, minute-to-minute fluctuations of physical pain serve as a profound predictive indicator of our brain's regulatory flexibility and our future health.
Yeah.
But pain is just one output of the nervous system. If the noise in our pain is actually a crystal ball, what other microscopic daily fluctuations in our bodies are we currently ignoring?
Oh, wow.
What about the minute-to-minute shifts in our energy levels, the second-by-second wandering of our focus, or the subtle hourly ripples in our moods? We dismiss them as random noise every single day.
You really do.
We get annoyed by them. But perhaps, just like pain, these microscopic fluctuations were actually mapping out the trajectory of our future well-being, waiting for us to finally decode their language.
Wow, that completely changes how I'm going to look at my own energy dips tomorrow. Rather than being annoyed that I'm suddenly tired, maybe I need to appreciate that my body's suspension system is just absorbing a bump in the road.
It's a great way to live.
To you, our listener, thank you so much for joining us on this custom-tailored deep dive. We hope this exploration empowers you to keep questioning the noise in your own life, to appreciate the bounce in your step, and to always stay curious. Until next time.